This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brother asks, I made a promise with someone and I mentioned the name of Allah and made an oath in the name of Allah. The promise, he didn't tell me what it is. I made a promise, I said Allah's name. At the time of the promise, I was sincere and I felt that I could fulfill the promise. However, the situation deteriorated between the two of us and neither he nor I is keeping up that promise that we made in the name of Allah. I feel very guilty. What can be done? End question.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Now he did not tell me what it is, and the point is not what it is, but the fact that he made an oath with Allah's name, and now he is unable to fulfill that oath. So we need to understand, in our religion, invoking Allah's name when you make a promise is a very, very big deal. And our scholars mention that there are three categories of mentioning Allah's name when you make a promise. The first of them, it is what is called laghu. And laghu is when you mention the name of Allah and the context people understand, it's not a serious oath. It is simply that you say Allah's name. And this is something that is very common in some cultures. For example, you say, are you free right now? Wallahi, I'm busy right now. This here, wallahi, I'm busy, it's just an expression. It's not like you are giving a halaf that is serious in nature. Okay? Can you make it that on Thursday to have a meeting? It's not, wallahi, can we do it another day? It's just you say Allah's name because that is the cultural habit. And in my own experiences, I would say, and Allah knows best, that in some cultures it's more common than others. And perhaps in certain cultures it's not that common. So when I say this, people of certain lands say, well, it's not something we're accustomed to. We don't do it in our culture. So it's a very cultural thing. In some cultures, Allah's name is mentioned every second sentence, you know. Wallahi this, wallahi that, wallahi this. Every third thing is wallah, wallah, wallah. It keeps going like this, you know. So it's their culture is common. And this, the verdict is, it is makruh, but not haram. You should not mention Allah's name for no reason. But it is not sinful. I mean, you're not going to go to Jahannam for this. Everybody understands. When you say, wallahi, I'm busy. It's not like the wallahi you give in a court of law when people are looking at you say, I swear by Allah, I'm telling the truth. The context, understandably. And Allah mentions in the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 89, لَا يُؤَاخِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ بِاللَّغْوِ فِي أَيْمَانِكُمْ. Allah is not going to call you to task. It's not a haram thing. Your laghu. Laghu means you just say it in vain. Your laghu in your ayman. Yameen is the halaf. In Arabic, yameen means you give an oath, a qasam. Right? In Urdu we say qasam kana. You give the qasam, right? In Arabic it's called yameen. And the yameen is essentially like the right hand because it's generally done with the right hand. You raise your right hand in the Western court. In the Eastern society, you might shake the person and say, I swear by the name of Allah. That's why it's called yameen. The seriousness of it is the right hand. So Allah is saying, لَا يُؤَاخِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ بِاللَّغْوِ. If it is laghu, you are not sinful, but it is not encouraged. Because you shouldn't just mention the name of Allah for no reason. This is the first category. The second category is the exact opposite. You say the name of Allah and you mean it, but you are, a'udhu billah, lying. And this is called in the hadith, al-yameen al-ghamus. And ghamus means the one that inserted you in, because you go to Jahannam for this yameen. Al-yameen al-ghamus. Al-yameen, the oath that will cause you to enter, a'udhu billah, Jahannam. The Prophet ﷺ said, should I not tell you of the major sins? They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. So he said, to do shirk with Allah, to do this, then he was lying on his back. He stood up, not stood up, but he got up from, he was on the wall. He got up and he said, and the false yameen, the yameen al-ghamus, the yameen al-ghamus, the yameen al-ghamus, the false yameen. To show how important it was, he got up and he made this, that to mention the name of Allah in vain, in batil. And in another version, or another hadith, we learn that, a'udhu billah, there is la'na of Allah on the one who uses the name of Allah in a lie, a'udhu billah. There's Allah's la'na on this person. Therefore, by unanimous consensus, to say the name of Allah in a lying oath is amongst the major, major sins. And there is no kafara other than genuine repentance to Allah. You cannot just make it up by doing something. This is the type of sin. The only thing to make it up is your ikhlas and your tawbah between you and Allah. Otherwise, it is amongst the major sins to mention the name of Allah and to intentionally lie. And that's why dua is made against that person in some hadith. For example, of the duas that are made against this person is the businessman, the merchant, who makes a halaf, an oath with Allah, that he purchased a product for a certain amount and he's lying to sell it at a higher profit. So Allah's name is so cheap that he's willing to sell it for a few dollars. How can there be barakah in this person? That person, la'na has been given and there is no barakah. So the opposite is al-yameen al-ghamus. And that is to lie intentionally, knowing you are lying, and bringing the name of Allah into it. And the third category, which is what our brother is asking about, this is called al-yameen al-mul'aqida. The yameen that is a serious yameen. The yameen that is meant to be the real oath in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentions in the Quran, وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ. Protect your oaths when you mention them in the name of Allah. Protect your oaths. And Allah says in the Quran that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَيْمَانِهِمْ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَا خَلَاقَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who mention the name of Allah in false yameen, those people, Allah says, listen to this. Number one, they have no share of the akhirah. They'll get nothing. Number two, Allah will not even speak to them in anger. Allah will not even speak to them. Number three, Allah will not even look at them. Number four, Allah will not purify them. Number five, and they shall have a painful torment. What more do you need? What more do you need to warn you? Do not mention the name of Allah in a lie. Never, ever, ever mention the name of Allah knowing that you are lying. This is amongst the greatest, akbarul kaba'ir, amongst the greatest of all evil deeds. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, akbarul kaba'ir, the biggest of all evil. Number one, he said, committing shirk with Allah. Number two, he said, rejecting your parents, being disrespectful to your parents. Number three, he said, murder. Number four, he said, al-yameen al-ghamus. Just look at the list. After shirk and murder and rejecting parents, what was number four? This yameen. It is next to murder on this list. So, be careful, Muslims, when you mention the name of Allah. Be careful. It is mentioned in our books, in the Kitab al-Zuhd of Imam Ahmad, that Isa ibn Maryam was walking on the path and he saw someone steal. He saw someone take another person's property. He said, oh so-and-so, fear Allah, don't steal. The man said, wallahi, I didn't steal. Isa said, my eyes are lying and you spoke the truth because you mentioned the name of Allah. I would rather accuse my eyes of lying then accuse you of mentioning Allah's name in vain. So he retracted so as not to punish the person. But that's up to Allah. He retracted. I must have lied. My eyes are lying. My eyes didn't see what they saw. And Allah's name is valid. Out of respect for the name of Allah, when he heard the man say, wallahi, I didn't steal, he said, my eyes are lying. And okay, you didn't steal. This shows us the impact of using the name of Allah. So this is al-yameen al-laghu, al-yameen al-ghamus, then you have al-yameen al-mun'aqida, which is the effective yameen. What is the effective yameen? Where the effective yameen, the context clarifies, you mean it, you mean it. And the most obvious example is in a court of law. And the judge says, in this court or in the Islamic court, do you swear by Allah you are telling the truth? This is now is a very serious matter. You cannot just, this is not yameen al-laghu. Or there's an argument going and somebody says, ah, you're lying. Now your face changes. You say, I swear by Allah, I am telling the truth. This is not yameen al-laghu anymore, right? Now you are invoking the name of Allah to bring something serious, so serious that the other person will say, okay, he's not going to disrespect that name. Do you understand why it's so important? So before we even answer the question, I wanted to clarify, this is a big deal to mention Allah's name. And that is why We need to be careful when we mention Allah's name and do not mention it in vain. It is better to face all the consequences without mentioning Allah's name lying than to mention Allah's name lying and then face that consequences of this dunya and the akhirah. So the context tells us it is yameen al-mun'aqid, the real yameen. Okay, now the brother says, I made it sincerely. So this is not yameen al-ghamus. He was sincere. And he said, whatever it was, let's give an example. I promise to maintain, whatever, visit your house every few weeks, whatever it was, we don't know what it was. He made a promise to Allah. Maybe there was some tension between the two of them, this looks like. Then they tried to reconcile. So they mentioned Allah's name and they said, okay, let us promise by Allah that we will do this and that. And the both of them made an actual promise. Maybe the both of them were sincere. Then, subhanAllah, things happened and the promise is not met. Here we have two scenarios. Slight difference in the verdict of either one. So I'm going to take a step back. The first scenario, you mention the name of Allah in a solemn oath for something to do with the future, and you are sincere. But time changes, and you think or you feel or you presume that this oath, I made it and it was a mistake. And something else is better than my oath overall in the eyes of Islam and the laws of the Sharia. I said it, I meant it at the time, but I regret it. And I shouldn't have done it. And I realized that the alternative is better for deen and dunya than what I said. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, if you swear a qasam by Allah, then you see the other alternative better than your qasam, then do the alternative that is better and make kafara for your yameen. Let me give you a simple example. Sometimes in a state of anger, you have an argument with somebody and you say, wallahi, I will never visit that person's house again. And you mean it. Like you say it and you mean, it's not wajib to go to the other person's house. So you made a halaf with Allah. You say, wallahi, that person, he dishonored me, he disrespected me, he said this about me. And you make qasam, your family is there, your friends are there, your brother is there. Say, wallahi, I will never visit that person's house again. Now, the yameen is halal. But is it mustahab, dear Muslims? Is it good? No. What did our Prophet ﷺ say? If you made a yameen, then you realize the other option is better than your yameen. What is the other option? In this case, sulh. Correct? The other option is sulh. You forgive and you make up. Correct? Our Prophet ﷺ said, don't even hesitate. Don't even hesitate. You're choosing the better option. This is wallahi a mercy from Allah. Because if Allah had wanted to, He could have said, khalas, you have to bear the consequences. And dear Muslims, how often we use the name of Allah in a state of anger and we mean it. When we calm down, we regret. How often a husband says to a wife says to a husband, if you do this again, wallahi, I will divorce you. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. That's not a successful marriage, number one. What type of marriage will be successful when the wife is always threatened with divorce? Number two, you mention Allah's name. Don't do this. You don't mention Allah's name. In another verse in the Quran, Allah says, وَلَا تَجْعَلُ اللَّهَ عُرْضَةً لِأَيْمَانِكُمْ. Don't bring in the name of Allah to use in your qasam to do things that are not good. Allah is saying, don't use it. Don't use my name in a qasam for something that is not positive. أَنْتَبَرُّ وَتَتَّقُ تُصْلِحُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Don't do this that you're not going to do birr. You're not going to have sulh بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Don't bring in my name. Wallahi, I'm never going to talk to him again. Allah says in the Quran, don't bring in my name. But people do. It's not haram, but it is makruh, definitely makruh. You're using Allah's qasam for something that's not positive. It's not haram because it's not wajib to visit. You understand what I'm saying, right? You understand this point. He's not making qasam for a haram, I'm going to drink alcohol. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. He's saying, I'm not going to visit this person. Visiting that person is not wajib. So he's not sinful. It is a legitimate yameen. It's a legitimate oath. But now he realizes, I shouldn't have done that. He calms down. He wants to forgive. But he has mentioned the name of Allah. This is scenario one. He sees something better. In this case, there is no repentance, but there is a kafara. Because why is there no repentance? Because he's doing the better of the two. His option of qasam was the worst of the two. I'm not going to visit. I'm not going to talk. Whatever it is, you understand. I'm going to divorce you if you, you know, what? Maybe your wife went to somebody's house and you don't like that family. You say, wallahi, if you go again, I will divorce you. SubhanAllah, what type of marriage is this? But suppose you said it. Khalas, what do you do now? Now you mention Allah's name, you're not going to get away scot-free. You are not going to get away scot-free because you brought in the name of Allah. If you simply said, if you go there, I will divorce you. There's not Allah's name. You made a mistake, you can astaghfirullah, move on. End of story. But you mention the name of Allah, you bring it in. Nobody told you to bring it in. Now you have to give kafara. Is that clear? This is scenario one. What is the kafara we'll come to? Scenario two, it's not that you saw a better option. It's simply that you as a human being are not able to do what you promised to do. So you are, the Arabic word is ajiz, even in Urdu, ajiz ho gaye. You're not able to do that. You made this sincere intention. Let me give a simple example that suppose you both in a state of good brothers said, wallahi, we will visit each other every week. Life happens. You move, you know, move apart. You move to different location. Whatever, you get my point. Okay, you shouldn't have done that. You know, it's something that yani you brought in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you are ajiz to do. In this case, to the level of your incapacity, you must repent. If it is truly beyond your control, there is no repentance. But if you are falling short, for example, if you are falling short because you don't like the guy, that's different than falling short because he moved away. Right? If you're falling short because tensions between you and him. I'm giving an example that we understand. Wallahi, we're going to visit weekly. Suppose, as I said, there was tension between the two. You made up. You said, okay, from now on, we swear by Allah, we will be in touch every week, every month. Then another tension happens, and both of you, that looks like this, like he's saying, we have gone apart. Obviously, before I answer, try your best for salah. Always be the better of the two. Don't cut off ties. Nonetheless, it happens. My point is, if it happens because of you, you are guilty to the extent that you are not fulfilling the oath. In which case, you must also do tawbah along with the kafara. This is my point. Scenario one, there is no tawbah. You're choosing the better option. There is no tawbah, you just do the kafara. Scenario two, it's not the better option, but you are ajiz. You cannot do it for whatever reason. In this case, you must repent to Allah. And repentance, you feel guilty, you do istighfar, you make an intention, you learn your lesson, you're not going to do it again. This is tawbah. And on top of that, you do kafara. So both scenarios have kafara. What is the kafara? Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 89. Memorize it. لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في إيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان. Allah is going to forgive you for the laghu, but Allah will call you to task for the munaqida, for the serious one. فَكَفَّارَتُهُ, this is in the Quran. If you're not able to fulfill the oath, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ, number one, إِطْعَامُ عَشَرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ أَهْلِكُمْ. Feed 10 people the average meal of what you feed your family. Number two, أَوْ كِسْوَتُهُمْ, clothe 10 people the average of what you clothe your family. Number three, أَوْ تَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَ, freeing a slave. There is no number three in our time, so that's gone. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ, if you don't have the financial means to pay for 10 people's food or for 10 people's clothing, فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ, you must fast 3 days. ذَلِكَ كَفَّارَةُ أَيْمَانِكُمْ إِذَا حَلَفْتُمْ, this is the kafara of your oath if you are not able to do it. But Allah reminds us, وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ, try your best to fulfill your oaths. Don't use it in name. So, response. Dear brother, you have two options, and inshallah all of us can afford. If you really cannot financially afford, then you move to number four, which is fasting 3 days. Number three, there is none, freeing a slave. The two options, and you may do either one. Both of them are equally valid. Feeding 10 people, what you normally eat. What do you normally eat? Some rice and some meat is our normal food, let's say, okay? Or, mashallah, a hamburger and french fries. Normal meal. The point is, what is the average meal? Min awsati. And look at Allah's mercy. He could have said, the most expensive, when you go to the five-star cuisine. Or if he didn't say anything, some lazy people would have said, okay, sometimes when I'm really hungry, I ate a granola bar. So I'll give 10 granola bars. No. Allah says, مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ أَهْلِكُمْ, the average meals that you feed your own family. So 10 meals must be fed to poor people. And if you want to, you can go to option 2. Option 2 is what? 10 clothing to poor people. So the average clothing item, you know, if in Arab lands, a thobe, in Pakistan, a shalwar kameez, in America, a regular shirt and pants, awsat, the average that your family will wear, you will buy and you will give to people. This is the kafara of your yameen. So that answers our first question, inshallah. Is that clear? Jayid.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنا في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال.